And if 50 people show up, I mean, we'll be just super happy. But turns out 140 people showed up.
Hello, and welcome to the In Touch Mission International Podcast, where you get to hear directly from ITMI partners. I'm your host, Summer Kelly. Today I'm chatting with ITMI's Andrew Gorski about the impact many of our supporters have had in Poland by partnering with Gospel Joy and supporting the Gorski family so they could be freed up to do this ministry. Andrew is the director of ITMI's Gospel Joy Evangelism and Workshops. Gospel Joy is an outreach that uses gospel music to help Polish people understand that their Heavenly Father loves them, He sent Jesus to save them, and He wants a relationship with them. And this is something that for many is a completely foreign idea and really shifts their paradigm. Let's jump right into my conversation with Andrew. Andrew, welcome. It's such a privilege to get to sit down with you and to learn more about what God is doing in Poland through Gospel Joy and the doors He's opening. But before we get into that, would you just share the story of how you came to be in ministry in Poland? Because I think it's such an interesting and exciting story of God really intervening to create this very unique ministry.
In my high school days, I fell in love with NBA basketball and Michael Jordan. And I would watch 4 hours a day basketball, listening to Bob Costas. So the why I know the language, why I can speak English, is because of Bob Costas, who basically was my teacher for 4 hours a day. And my dream was always to go to the US and see NBA life. So when I was at my law school, year four of my law school, I went to States to work a summer job. And of course, because I just wanted to go to see the NBA. So that was my goal. Now, I played basketball in Boston, Massachusetts. And over there at the court, somebody came up to me. We started talking. It turns out he's from North Carolina University, and that's where Michael Jordan studied, of course. So I got all excited. We started talking, and he said, "Hey, why don't you come to my place? We have a Bible study going on Friday nights." I was a good Catholic Polish person who knew that the Bible was good. I had respect for the Bible, but I've never read it. I never knew what it said. So I said, "Yeah, why not? Sure, let's go." So I don't remember much. I remember we studied Romans, but what I remember is throughout the 10 weeks that I was there, that I saw the faith of people. Mm-hmm. I saw how they treated God, how they talked about God, how they prayed with their own words. It was unbelievable. I've never, ever experienced that in my life. And to make a long story short, it took God 10 weeks to get hold of my heart. And it was in October where I surrendered my life to Christ in Boston, Massachusetts. Then I moved to Los Angeles for 1 year, came back to Poland for good, and worked in business for 2 years, or maybe even 3 years in business. And only then we have started the Pro Nobis Foundation, which is the non-for-profit kind of like 501c3 thing over there in Poland. And that's how it all started. That's how we started the ministry, gospel music, home churches, Bible groups, and other activities.
So I'm going to ask the burning question. Did you finish law school?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But in Poland, in order to, I mean, you can finish the law school, but you don't know much about law because it's not practical. You have to do it an additional 3 years of practice at the attorney's office or something like this. And I didn't do that. So even though I have the law degree, I am not officially a lawyer. For which I praise the Lord every day, almost.
God took you a different way.
Yeah, He did. And every time I study an agreement that we have to sign as a ministry, I go like, "Man, am I happy not to do that on a daily basis."
So how did Gospel Joy start?
Gospel Joy started in a miraculous way. When I lived in Boston, Massachusetts, before I moved to Los Angeles for 1 year, I had to go back to Poland to do some paperwork for 2 weeks. So I, you know, I was coming back home, so I wanted to get a gift for my sister. And I didn't know what to get her, but walking down the streets of Boston, I found a store with CDs, secondhand CDs. So I go into that store and I see a, what do you call a bargain bin, you know, with CDs for $1. And that's how my I loved my sister, you know, I bought her the three CDs for $1. So that was a $3 investment. It was a black gospel music, and that was the most important thing. I knew she liked it from back in high school when she sang one gospel song. So I mean, it was just kind of like a thing that I wanted to bring her. And so I brought it, and it turned out to be absolutely fantastic, because she would, especially one CD, she would take the three-part harmony out and made me and another friend sing with her, so in a three-part harmony. After we sang, somebody heard about us and said, "Hey, I'm getting married. Would you like to come and sing at our wedding? It'd be great if you can do this gospel, this joyful gospel music." And we said, "Yeah, sure." But we asked two friends to join, because we wanted to be like a little bit bigger group. Then somebody else was getting married, so another two people joined, and another somebody else. So then we ended up as like a 14 people group and one keyboard player. And for a while we would sing like this in at weddings, just for fun. Nobody thought it would be any kind of ministry. And my sister, who's the choir director, she said, who was not a choir director back then, but she just kind of kept it all together. She said, "I would like to have this this like a manpower sound when there's more people, so it sounds really well." So we said, "Hey, so how about if we do so-called gospel music workshops, which is a two-day event where people come in and we teach them different songs?" And we said like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what happens. And if 50 people show up, I mean, we'll be just super happy." Well, turns out 140 people showed up. It was 2003, I think. And we could not believe it. So overnight, after, of course, they came in, they had a great time, because the music is just absolutely fantastic and, you know, and exciting and all that. So what happened is, overnight, we came from like 14, 15 people group to 40 people choir. And then when we did a survey of during the gospel music workshops, at the end of the workshops of the weekend, I said, like, "How did you like it? What do you think about this?" The workshop, people would write back stuff like, "If this music was in my church, I would go to church every day." Mm. So that made us really start thinking about it, because until then we were just having fun. Nobody thought it would be a ministry. Nobody thought we would be using it for evangelism. But then people were saying, like, "Wow, this is, I feel so encouraged spiritually. I feel so close to God now." And we read it and we go, like, "Wow, this could be something." And then I think next year, a big festival, one of the biggest festivals, Christian festivals, Catholic festivals in Poland, called us up and said, "Hey, would you like to do a gospel music workshop at our festival?" It was in the city of Toruń. And we said, why not? So we did that. It was a success. And it just opened up a new doors. And we said, "Hey, we could do the workshops in our city of Poznań, outside." So then it just took off, because I said, "Okay, so maybe we can do it." And I knew that then how big of a spiritual impact it had on people participating in it. So then we would start doing workshops all over the country. So today, 20 years later, 1.5 million people heard the gospel because of Gospel Joy.
1.5 million, that's awesome.
Yeah. Gospel Joy and black gospel music is a phenomenon that no one would ever think of. Now, this type of music is very much liked in Poland because of, and you're going to be surprised, because of Whoopi Goldberg and her movie Sister Act, and also Blues Brothers. And I think on every Christmas there's a Sister Act movie on TV, so people kind of remember this and they like it. And then, I don't know if you remember, but the thing was played, she was a nun in a Catholic church, the Pope was coming to their parish, and they were getting ready to get a choir to perform. So it's a very similar context to Polish context, and just people love that music. So God is opening so many, still is, was, and will be opening, because we've seen it for the last 20 years, opening doors that a normal pastor, or even a super skilled, a super smart pastor, would never get a chance to speak. So I would speak to thousands in cathedrals, on festivals, on so many different occasions, because just we were the artists. We were coming in with the great music, and they, you know, if they give us the stage to sing, then we could speak. And so many times I was there with my Bible, talking to masses, you know, encouraging to read the Bible, or even challenging them, like, okay, this is the Bible. Let's say this is the Romans book. Like, who will promise me that you will read the Romans at your home? So people would. If they did, I don't know, but at least we tried to.
Tell us a little bit about the Word Zone groups for our listeners who may not be familiar with that.
The Word Zone is a Bible group, evangelistic Bible group, which we usually started after gospel music workshops in different cities. God has allowed us to plant 9 groups like this around the country, and those are the groups that when I came to faith in Boston, Massachusetts in 98, I came into the group and I saw and I experienced people who truly trusted Christ and believed in God and lived with God on a daily basis. We actually do the same thing right now around Poland for people who come from gospel music workshops. But then when the group continues, there's all kinds of different people, friends being invited and people coming from different areas and different places. And it's a evangelistic group. Poland is a Catholic country, so we just read the Bible. We do not criticize anybody. We don't tell anybody what to believe. We just read the Bible and talk about it and share. It's very interactive. You can ask any questions, and people just enjoy it because they never get a chance to talk about spiritual stuff with other young people in the relaxed atmosphere, and then it's fun and it's life changing. And we have numerous of stories of how people came to faith. Among one of them is my wife Anna.
So you have 9 Word Zones thriving today. You were pretty involved in growing those Word Zones. Could you tell us anything about maybe how God grew you as a leader through those Word Zones?
Well, Poland is a little bit different world than the U.S. And because of the, I think, cultural context, because of the history, I've learned that in Poland, in order to lead a group, lead a church, in order to at least survive the first difficulties, it takes somebody who is high and directing, traits to run and to just keep on going when the troubles come and when the storm is coming. And then there's always coming if you start something, if you're planting a new church or if you're planting a new Bible group. So what I've learned is that you need to find the right people, and it's always about the right people, but it's just so much harder because we know that some statistics say that those people who have initiative, those go-getters, they only make 5% of society. So if evangelical church in Poland is 0.2%, and out of this we need to find the 5% who have time to start something new, it is a challenge. Those groups which are led by people like this, they have a tendency to thrive, to grow. In one city of Środa Wielkopolska, one person started a group like this after the workshops, and now there are 4 of those. So they've multiplied, they're growing, but it takes a lot of perseverance, it takes a lot of work, it takes a lot of discipleship, but it is possible.
So you said Poland is a difficult mission field. Talk a little bit about that.
Poland is 90% Catholic, 40% attendance in Catholic Church. Probably the most religious country in Europe. Maybe one of the most religious in the world, I don't know. Evangelicals make 0.2%. Now, when you look at the history of Poland, when you look at what we went through and partitions. So Poland not being on the map for 123 years leading up to World War One. So no Poland there. If you see World War One, if then a little bit of freedom between World War One and World War Two, then World War Two, which Germans invaded us September 1st, Russians invaded us September 17th. Then communism for 50 years. We were so beaten up back left and right so for so many years. And the only reason why we still stay Polish and why we are who we are and that we didn't give up was the identity with the tradition and religion of the Catholic Church. So Poles just are Catholic. We are born Catholic. We are that's our identity, that's our tradition, that's who we are. So evangelical Christians who make 0.2% are seen as first of all, most people have never heard of anything else outside of Catholic Church. So when they meet us and we start sharing their faith, they think we're Jehovah's Witnesses because we're just not part of the main mega mother church. So so the mission field is hard because number one, there's so many religious people who think they are okay because they've, you know, we're a Catholic country, Christian country. So what do you want? We, you know, I am a believer. I go to church. Almost everyone says that. And on the other hand, if we say, hey, you know, we're not from the Catholic Church, then it's like everyone's afraid that that we are a sect. If you want to, you know, work with somebody, disciple somebody, it takes years for them to leave the theology of the church, which they have been taught for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, every single Sunday. And on top of that, of 1,000 history and stuff that we have in our culture, in our just DNA that we do that we don't even know, and it is connected with the religious system of the Catholic Church.
Would you mind sharing with our listeners, I know your family has had a few difficult things that we could be praying about with you. Would you mind sharing those with us?
Anna and I have been married for 12 years now. We're three kids, 11-year-old Peter, 9-year-old Jagoda, which is Blueberry, and then a 4-year-old Maria. You know, we're happy together, but last year we found out that both Anna, my wife, and our middle daughter have Lyme disease, and it's been really hard, and especially for Jagoda, who has a kind of like a neurological Lyme disease and two other co-infections, which the symptoms are fear and rebellion and just disobedience and just kind of like also being rude to people and to siblings. All to say, it's been the hardest year of our marriage so far, by far. But in the meantime, Jagoda fell in love with horses, which is a miracle from God. So she at least in going through this difficult time, which is absolutely not her fault. You know, just being a really, really difficult for us and for everyone around her, she now has horses to so something to look forward to. So we tried to take her to the stable at least once a day, which is 15 minutes away, so she can just maybe even just be with them for 15 minutes. It's just helping a lot. So we even got a dog half a year ago, a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel, the dog that will just love on everybody. And it's kind of like a good what they call a ministry dog. When people come to our house for all kinds of different meetings, the dog will just never scare anybody. She will just love everyone. So even if the thieves come in, she will just lick them and just, you know, be happy to see them. So that's kind of our life.
Yeah. So now with ministry and life intersecting, are you having groups meeting in your home?
Yes, until March, the church plant, the core team is meeting on Sundays at our home. And we of course have people in and out oftentimes, and we also have the office of the ministry like in front of our house. So in the house, but it's a separate entrance too. So that's so there's people in and out all the time. Yeah, and then once we start in March, Sundays we'll have in the school that we will be renting out. So yeah, So, but we all many times we do like, you know, kind of like barbecues and all that stuff to, so people come in and you know, fellowship.
Now, your kids attend King David Christian School, which for our listeners is a project that's being overseen by another ITMI partner in Poland, Peter Zaremba. So can you tell us about that school?
It's a city that has a million citizens. There's only one Christian school. I don't know how many kids there are, 100, 150, including the homeschooled. Yeah, they go there to King David School. They're super happy. We are super happy. It's just a huge, huge blessing, especially with Jagoda, with her Lyme disease sickness. I mean, they have so much patience for her, so much love, and we just love it and thank God for the school every day. Even though it's a big commute because the school is downtown and we live outside of town, so we have to commute a lot, and it's kind of a little bit difficult on the kids, but still that's the price we want to pay, and we're happy that we're there.
Now, you've been working on an exciting new project, a project that is aimed at building up evangelical churches in Poland and their leaders. Tell us about Evangelical Poland and why you're undertaking it and where it's going.
With this Evangelical Poland movement, we are in the very, very beginning stage of it. It will take years to build relationships, to build trust between leaders of different denominations. But the will is there among the top leaders of Christian Church in Poland. People do want to try, and I'm excited. It's going to be a long one, but I think it's all worth it. For example, you know, some denominations, they don't have a plan or idea of how they want to. They know they should be planting new churches, but they don't have an idea of how to do this, and they don't have anybody who is just. Who will do this? So what we want to do is we want to kind of equip them, help them think about it, maybe prepare, maybe do some help them in finding the right people in their own denomination to they will plant the churches. It's not going to be us, but we can just what we can do is we can come alongside them and kind of help them using resources and using. The knowledge and experience of people from other denominations, which has never been happening in Poland before. But one project that I have that I think is worth mentioning is we have been receiving so much support from the US throughout the years, and for which we are super grateful. I think it's the time that Poland makes the step to start funding their own ministries. Of course, you know, the level of salary is just, you know, 10 times or whatever, 5 times smaller than here. But I still think that maybe Poles could start supporting other ministries and Polish ministries and this movement, which is gonna be, hey, we are working on all of us to grow. We're working to equip each of us and all that. So we want to build a fundraising platform within Poland, kind of like similar to what you guys are doing here at ITMI, like an online system for people to donate, but also communication. What you are very good at, you know, sending newsletters, finding people who would be interested in being part of what God is doing there. So so it's a challenge, it's something new, but I think this is the right way to do it, because at the end of the day, if we're talking about a cultural change, if we're talking about changing the church, that is healthy if the church supports itself. So we are looking, because it's always like this, starting something takes a little bit of money to start something, and I treat it as investment. So if there's anybody out there who would like to kind of invest in the fundraising platform, so we multiply it within years, and I am aware that it will take years for us to grow the database of the donors. But if we start now, 10 years from now, maybe 50% of the budget will be coming from Poland. If we start 5 years from now, then it will take another 10 years. So I think the sooner we start, the better. But it just takes somebody to take ownership of it, and basically we would have to have somebody who would just be totally dedicated to that job. But I believe it. I think that's what I want to do. It's a long process ahead of us. But if there will be anybody from IT and my family who would like to kind of maybe donate and treat it as an investment and something that this will be invested and it will bring fruit from Poland in years to come, then we'll have to partner and talk about it further.
Thank you so much for sharing, and I'm really excited to see how your experience with planting those groups and Gospel Joy is going to benefit many, many other people in the name of Jesus over Poland. That's really cool.
Absolutely, and I think I didn't ask to be in this position, and it was just like something from inside me. I went and I shared, and they said, "Hey, you do it." But I think what makes me qualified for the job, let's say, mm-hmm. is that I am the starter, mm-hmm. and I have kind of like a little bit of visionary mind, but I also am not bad at strategizing. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, okay, I know where we're going. Let's make a path of where we're going to go. Most pastors who are Bible teachers or shepherds, they don't have it. So I would say many leaders of Polish church, they don't have it. They're just great godly men with just a different gifting, and it sometimes it takes somebody to come out from a little bit of outside and say, okay, you know, let's think where we want to go first, instead of let's just do a conference, mm-hmm. or let's do something for families, let's do something what I think is like, let's do it the other way around. Let's see where we want to be, and knowing where we want to go, let's come up with a plan of how we will accomplish that, how God will accomplish that through that. But at least we know where we're going, and it's not just like, so. And of course, God will show up here more, here less, but we'll go after where God leads. But at least we know where we're going. And by the way, to get Polish people work together, it takes a super special, huge goal, something that will help everybody, and that's what we have just signed 6 months ago in June of 2018, and again, which is absolutely a miracle, and I am just so thrilled to be part of it. And, God is using us and our staff to grow the church in Poland.
Awesome.
It's just great what God is doing through you and through Anna and Gospel Joy and your supporters who have partnered with you to make that impact. That is wonderful. Andrew, thank you so much for being here today. It's been an absolute joy to hear about Gospel Joy and a little about what your life is like for you and your family. We're so thankful for what the Lord is doing through you and with your willingness to follow Him and serve Him. And if you're listening and you want to connect with Andrew and Anna, you can find out more about them on our website at intouchmission.org/Gorski. Well, ITMI family, as always, we are so grateful to you for being with us today and in all of the many ways that you are with us. Andrew and Anna and Gospel Joy wouldn't be reaching the people that they've reached and doing the ministry that they're doing without supporters being with them and making it possible. So thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.